Hello and welcome, 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 welcome. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to my brand new episode of A Blank Canvas. I've not recorded an episode of A Blank Canvas in well over a year. I think it was April 2021 was the last one. And I remember promising that I was going to go to video. It never happened. I decided to stop recording them. I got a job recording podcasts for a media company. They then got rid of me. So here I am now, back recording my own podcast. And I'm so excited because I've got some amazing guests lined up. I sound like a proper promoter there, don't I? Got some big guests lined up, yo. But yeah, welcome along. On this episode today, I speak with a young lad called Blue Boredom, young chap, real name Ben Rees. He's a self-shooting director. He's directed and produced some incredible music videos for some top talent. But I will let you find out more in this episode. This is episode one. Oh yes, we're going back to one again. Episode one of A Blank Canvas with Blue Boredom.
Welcome to A Blank Canvas with Cameron Rawson.
Blue Boredom, Ben, thank you for joining me on this episode today. It's my first episode back in well over a year, and we've been planning this for, well, fucking so long. So thank you for finally joining me, mate.
Yeah, nah, happy to do this, man. Yeah, I'm glad we can finally do it.
Yeah, man. So I want to start by asking, Blue Boredom, where did the name come from? Where was that?
So basically, I feel like I've asked this quite a lot recently, actually. So there's like a band that I used to listen to called Dive, and it's basically like one of the songs off this album they dropped. But you see, like when I first used that name, it was more just for like, my Instagram was just like a private Instagram. So I just used to post like loads of crap of me and my mates messing around like at uni and that. But then when I started taking photos and whatnot, I just deleted everything and started posting photos. But I just kept the name the same pretty much. I wasn't expecting it to become like a brand. I just kept that as just the Instagram username.
You know, that's the best way for a brand to form though. It's like, it wasn't on purpose. It's so like organic and natural. You've not kind of forced it, and it's awesome. I love it. It's a pretty cool
because I think like I don't even know what I would have called this, like if I had to actually sit and think of what a brand name is gonna be like. So yeah, I'm glad it just came naturally like that,
you know. When was the first time you took a photo or took a video, or when was the first time you picked up a camera and sort of rather than just pressing you know, a record or whatever, you actually thought about what you were shooting?
You'd probably say like 2016, you know, 2015, 2016, like just at like the skate park. Cause I used to just do like little YouTube vlogs. It wasn't really doing anything like what I do now, but it'd just be like vlogs pretty much. So I guess that was like my earliest times of editing on like, you know, like Windows Movie Maker and all that stuff. But like my first time, I'd say like actually getting a camera. An actual camera, because obviously I used to do the videos on my phone, but I'd say like, yeah, actual camera, that was probably at some point in uni, yeah. So that was like 2018, 2019.
And do you remember the first time you got a paid gig, so you actually did something and somebody gave you some money for it?
Yes, I remember that clearly. So, right, so basically, so there was this event, so this is right at the beginning now, so there was an event called Baghdad. And it was just like a really cool event. Like they play really sick hip hop music and whatnot. And lots of like cool people go there. Lots of artists, like local artists and whatnot. So my friend basically asked me, she was like, oh, like, why don't you ask them whether you can bring your camera? Because at this point, I was just taking photos of everyone at like pre-drinks and stuff and parties. So I asked them, they said, yeah, you can bring it. I did some photos for them. And then I sent it to them. So then it was, oh yeah, this is sick. Then it was like, okay, yeah, like next time you come, like we'll pay you in it. We'll pay you like £50. So now I was just gassed because I'm thinking like, what? Like, this is basically a night out, but I also get to do photos and get paid for it. So I thought this is crazy. So I think that was, that must have been 2019. Like, I think it was like July times, 2019. Yeah, so I did that. So the second time I went, I ended up, I took photos of more of the artists because there were some artists that went there. I thought, right, I'll take their photos, send it to them, and then they'll be like, oh yeah, like we like it.
Yeah.
And then from there, that's what happened. And then they was like, oh, we've got a show with the O2. We're supporting Russ Millions. Like, come and do the photos for that. So then that's kind of how it happened, innit? It's just like a snowball effect.
So there was no like real sort of plan to like, I want to shoot artists, I want to do video. No, it was all kind of, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Because the thing is, like, I studied film in sixth form and I did it in uni, but like, I wasn't doing anything like this. Like, I just kind of was just doing the course and I was hoping that maybe when I finished the course, like, I can get some internship with ITV or something. Like, I didn't fully know what I wanted to do, but I just knew I wanted to be a director in like something. But, you know, I don't really think my uni course was like the best. So it was often in my mind, like, how am I actually going to get into this? Like, so I just started, yeah, I just started doing the photos and whatnot. And then that's kind of, yeah, how it's kind of spiraled into this now. So yeah, no plan really.
Was the first video of sort of a club night or something like that? Or when was the first sort video. Of paid video?
Yeah, my first paid video was, it was actually a music video, just one of my friends at uni. But I didn't, at this time, I didn't have like a good enough camera to record videos. So one of my friends that was on my course, he had a camera. So I borrowed his, like his equipment and whatnot. And then I had another friend that knew how to edit. So I just filmed it. This guy edited it. And yeah, I'm pretty sure I got paid like maybe £200, which isn't bad for a first music video.
No, of course, mate. That's awesome. Yeah. But how old would you have been, like 20, when like 20 maybe?
So that ended up, so that first one there was, I think that was like towards the end of 2019. So yeah, like then by like March 2020, like I just went full time. So it literally just took a few months before like people started picking up like, oh yeah, like this guy's actually good at doing videos. And then yeah, I was like, oh shit, yeah, like let me just go full time with this then.
Mate, you've got a bit of an empire now as well. Like the whole thing for it, like your branding, like everything, it's just, it's just fucking great, mate. I mean, you've obviously established like a big network of people who like sort of rely on you now. How did that happen? I'm assuming a lot of artists sort of word of mouth, like they saw your credit and was like, who's this guy? Who's that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's literally just like that word of mouth. Like, because you see, like one of my USPs, I think, is the fact that like I get videos out to people quite fast. So I've taken a lot of like other videographers' clients like over the time because the artists have been, oh, this
you
guy.
You snake. No,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, because they're like, oh, yeah, like mine was good, but like it just takes ages. Like, so because I was turning people's videos around like next day or 2 days. Yeah, so I was also doing a lot of videos as well. So since I've done so many, like say in a month, then when it comes to people releasing, like a lot of people are kind of releasing, like there'll be a video that releases like every few days or a week. So because that's happening, like I'm organically getting promotion.
Yeah, that's perfect, isn't it?
People are tagging me as I'm posting it on Insta. So like one guy from Manchester might have seen like 5 videos that I've released like in the last 2 weeks and they all have my name on it. So then it's like, bloody hell, who is this guy? Like, so it's kind of like, yeah, it kind of just goes like that, I guess.
It's like the whole thing of like content being king and video. And I guess Instagram's probably helped out fucking massively in terms of people wanting video. Because, and also the way people release music now as well is so different to say, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when it was like, you know, structured albums and structured singles and all this kind of stuff. And now people are just recording something in the studio, wanting a video when it's out within, you know, a week or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. And I feel like, especially going into lockdown, like that helped as well because, like, you know, everything just became like online content and obviously artists couldn't do shows and whatnot. So everyone just wanted music videos. So that was like a massive like help. So I'm low-key thankful for COVID.
Would you say you've got a sort of trademark of the way your videos are? Like, do you reckon people can sort of potentially now watch a music video and go, oh, that's Blue Boredom?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so. Yeah. Like, I think it's just the way the video's shot and like the colors in it, you know, it has a certain mood to it, my videos and yeah, like just the its camera movement and the kind of angles that I do. Like, I feel like, yeah, when people do see that, like, yeah, you just know like, oh yeah, Ben did that or Blue Bond did that. You know what I mean?
How many music videos have you done to date? Do you know how many you've done?
Ooh, probably. There's a lot that isn't even released yet, like, but I'd probably say maybe like 180.
Fuck, I honestly wasn't expecting that many. I was expecting like 40, 30 at a push. Damn.
Nah, yeah, like on YouTube, in fact, I'm checking now. Yeah, on YouTube, there's 163.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got a little playlist there. But yeah, and then there's just a bunch that haven't even been released yet.
Do you know your combined views of all your music videos? You've obviously not necessarily on your channel, but just in general.
I literally don't know. Like, I don't know, mate, a few million maybe.
I was about to say it's got to be quite a few, like, million at this point. That must be mad. Must be mad to think, you know, people are seeing something you've shot. You know, there's millions of views attached to it. That's insane, mate. That's like a CV in itself with what you're doing, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Definitely. I know. Sometimes I don't even really take it in like that until like we have this kind of conversation. It's like, oh man, like that many people have seen my video, or like when I've just seen it on like big screens and like, it's a bit crazy.
As well as your sort of like turnaround time and what have you, and obviously the quality of your work, do you think your relationship with artists and certain people has really helped sort of put you on this fucking incredible trajectory?
Most definitely. Like I can say, first example off the top of my head is like Nems, for example. Like he's one of my guys now. I think he's 18 now, but obviously we started shooting like when he was like 16 or whatnot or whatever.
Is he only 18?
Yeah, Nem's only 18, you know.
Damn, that's insane.
I know everyone thinks he's a lot older, but nah, he's only a young boy. But yeah, like, I've been doing his videos from then. So it's like we built up a bit of a relationship. And, you know, just even outside of shooting, like sometimes we'll just link up. And I think because of that, you know, it's helped and created that like loyalty and whatnot. So since he's blown up and he's all involved with record labels, it's like they might be like, oh, like who did your video? And then he'll be like, oh, it was Blue Borden. And then now then it puts me in with the label as well.
Oh, mate, you got it unlocked, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, like literally just like that. So it's like the more artists say that I build a relationship with that are like, say, beginning to start popping, it's like if obviously they rate me like that, then I guess they also like can put me on as well. So anyone as well, like he ends up getting like a big feature with, he's got a few things on the way. Like he'll suggest like, well, I've already got video patterned in it. Blue Borden was going to do it. And then now I make that link with that person as well.
So, man, yeah. You got this on that. That's insane. I love it. I remember ages ago, because my brother is a sort of mutual friend of ours. Obviously, I've known you for so long. But I remember when we were out in Doncaster, big up Doncaster being a city, by the way. Cool. Ages ago, we were out and someone came up to you and was like, yo, you're the guy that's like shot for so and so, and I was just like, what is going on here? Like you're building up a level of like fucking you know, being recognizable and people knowing who you are because of the people you're working with and the content you're putting out. That must feel mad.
Oh bro, it literally happened yesterday. I was telling my mum about it. I was telling my mum, like, I was in Manchester, like three guys came up to me, like, yo, you're Blue Borden, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. And then it's like, oh yeah, man, you're hard. Like, yeah, I've seen your stuff about everywhere. Like, it's mad. And I feel like, but I like it at the same time because I feel like I'm creating like a new image for like videographers. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, mate, 100%. Because, yeah, like, for sure.
A lot of videographers, you don't know who they are like that because obviously they're just behind the camera. And like a lot of them, I don't know, they're just not out there like that. Whereas like for me, I kind of like,
your personality as well, aren't you? You're not just the guy behind the camera. You're obviously a charismatic guy and like, you know, you're a fun guy to be around. So I think that obviously plays a big part as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's a conscious decision I made. I thought, yeah, I don't want to just be known as behind the camera. Like, I want to be like almost as big as the rappers themselves. Like that's kind of how I looked at it. So I feel like that helps as well. So then it's like, okay, even if you don't just know my videos, but like, you know me, you still see my name everywhere. So like, yeah, I feel like that definitely just, yeah, helps the business, like, you know, as a whole.
How often do you shoot in a week? I mean, what's your sort of schedule? Are you filming, shooting for half of it and then editing for the other half? Do you have somebody else help with editing? Do you just shoot the videos? How does it work? What's a week like?
So each week varies, isn't it? Because obviously, like, I'm freelance, but probably say, like, on average, I'd probably say three times a week, sometimes four. This week, I'll be doing four shoots this week. I try not to do that too often, though. Sometimes I just overbook myself without realizing. And next, you know, I'm like, oh God, I've got all these shoots to do. But I do all the editing myself unless the artist requests that they want, say, like a certain style of editing, like VFX and all that kind of stuff. So then obviously I've got people though that I know can do that and that I've got a bit of relationship with them. So then like they'll do that. But for the most part, yeah, I'll like, I try to leave say a day in between. So I might shoot, then the next day I'll start editing or whatnot, try and finish it that day. But if not, it'll get carried on to the next day. But yeah, for me, I'm definitely trying to like create a bit more of a balance though, because I do end up overloading myself quite a bit.
But I heard this thing on a podcast a while ago, and I can't remember it exactly, but it was along the lines of being that if you really do enjoy your job, then you don't really need a work-life balance because you enjoy your work so much that it's kind of part of your life. So I'm guessing it gets to the point with you where you're picking up the camera. I mean, obviously doing more with it than just picking it up, but it's kind of like becoming fun for you. I mean, I'm guessing you really enjoy what you do.
Yeah, I do, definitely. And that is totally right, what you're saying. But the thing is, though, like when you do so many shoots consecutively, like say you have 2 weeks where you've shot. So in 2 weeks, say you've shot 7-8 times. Like, believe me, that third week, you don't want to shoot.
Like, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, like eventually it does become, because it's fun to be shooting anything, but you're also dealing with a lot of different types of people. And there's a lot of organizing to do. A lot of phone calls, a lot of people asking you about this, that, the other. You might have just edited someone's video, you think it looks sick, but then they want things changing on it. Then, but like you're working on the next guy's video.
Sounds fucking stressful, mate. It sounds stressful.
Yeah, man, it can be. And you know, there's a lot of people as well, you know, to kind of, I think they forget that.
You're doing other stuff.
That you've got one other clients and that you've got a life. So,
yeah, and they want to. I guess it's sort of a problem you've created in a way of, you know, you've been sort of giving them the world and getting things to them ASAP Rocky, and they've sort of turned around and been like, yo, it's been a day, you know, where is it kind of thing. When in reality, your day is incredible. I mean, I know people that take club photos, they don't give it to the clients, and these are just photos which I imagine they put through an app where it just sort of puts a filter or edits them all, you know, automatically or whatever. And it takes them 3 or 4 days to get it to a club. And it's just like, you know, maybe 100 photos of people in a club as opposed to a video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. So I guess I kind of like, in a way, I've kind of done it to myself because now everyone knows that you get it back fast. But now it's like, even if I don't take that long, like, I don't know, it's almost like it's seen as though it's long because it's long for me. But I have slowly begin to like, you know, let some people know now, like, yeah, like I know I did the one day return and everything, but like, it's not always going to be like that. I still believe I'm one of the fastest to get it back still. But trying to like just ease up on it a bit.
How often do you have people, artists, I don't know what you want to call them, clients, it sounds a bit too formal, but I've often... Do you get it when somebody goes, oh, I want this change, and then you change it, you send the video back to them, they then come back and go, actually, I want this like that. Like, how many revisions? It's obviously, you know, at what point do you go, mate, like, I've spent so long on this, and obviously you're not going to charge, I mean, do you charge them extra? Is it part of...
Oh, yeah, I do. Like, if like, so how it kind of works is, like, I'll do, like, 2 changes for free. So, like, yeah, you send me the list of whatever you want. And if I've left anything out, then cool, I'll do it again. Or like, if you're like, okay, actually, let's do this as well, then I'll do it again. But for the third time, then I charge again, like for the changes. And usually they'll either look back at it and think, do you know what?
Don't need it.
And that's great. Or if they do really want it, then yeah, you pay me and I'll do the job. But I've been working with a couple of guys that have been really, really meticulous about their videos. So we've had to go back and forth a bit.
It's a weird balance because I guess you kind of want that. So then the final product looks as good as you want they want it to be. But also I imagine it's a nightmare when, you know, you have to upload all this footage. And then they don't download it, and then you have to export it and upload it again. This is quite nerdy talk if you don't know how video editing works. But yeah, it's I mean, I've done very basic freelance stuff in the past, and it is a nightmare when it's, you have to upload it to Dropbox or Google Drive, they watch it, and then, you know, you have to then download it again and edit it. It's all it's long.
Well, 100%, like, you said something before. I was going to say something. I forgot. it's completely gone out of my head now. Completely gone out of my head. But nah, yeah, definitely. Like, oh, no, actually, I remember now. Yeah, because you were saying about, like, you know, having it like the best it can be. See this year, I never actually believed that after I've done their changes, it makes the video any better. Like, the way I see it is, I'm the director, and like obviously I've done a lot of videos and I watch a lot of videos, so I usually feel that the way I've done it is the best way. But obviously at the same time, because they're the clients and obviously it's them, you know, they might be looking at, they're looking at other things than what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
So I understand it. Like, they're looking more at themselves and like what is happening as opposed
right. to... Right, so that's, they're looking at themselves as like an individual person rather than the whole video put together kind of thing.
Exactly. So like, you might get some, that guy that says, oh, like, my belly looks a bit off on this shot. Really, truly, like, when people are looking at watching a music video, they're not... The general audience aren't looking at it, they kind of fixate
on something, yeah?
Exactly, yeah, because there's so many things happening. But, you know, because I've had some people where I feel like they've actually made the video worse because I've had to do so much changes. And it's like, to me, like, this isn't as good now. But that's when it kind of goes into that thing, innit? Like, well, they paid for it, so you have to kind of do what they want to a level.
So do you see yourself as, so what is it? You're a director first, then videographer. Like, what, where do you sort of, what do you title yourself as? Like, yeah, what do you title yourself?
I guess because, like, well, you'd say I'm like a self-shooting director. I guess that's the term for it.
That's
because,
good. Yeah,
I direct, but then I also shoot as well. But, you know, I kind of, because I'm essentially a one-man band, even though I've kind of got a bit of, like, a team here and there, but, like, really and truly, like, I'm a one-man band, so I just do everything. Unless, say I get given, like, a good budget, like with the Link Up TV thing, and like I've got a crew, then I'll just direct. I won't really touch the camera, because that's when we're dealing with like big cinema cameras, like 80 grand cameras. But yeah, for the most part, I'll always be shooting, unless maybe the client like wants to be the director themselves. Like, I get some clients that are really creative, so they'll come to me with like their treatment or their ideas and everything. So I'm essentially just like a camera operator. So I'll just come and just shoot it, make it happen and edit it.
For people that don't know what a treatment is, can you explain, please?
Okay, a treatment is basically like a mood board slash like plan. So it's like, it's usually done in the format of like a PowerPoint presentation. So it's just full of photos, have like a brief of what the overall idea is for the video. Then you'll add like your shot list in there, what types of shots you want to get. And some people put like a budget breakdown in there as well. And you put all the different types of locations you want as well. So just a little PowerPoint documentation.
How do you even budget a video? I mean, obviously you go and say, oh, I've got this much to spend, but then how do you break down all the costs? I mean, I'm guessing that's something you do as well as a...
Yeah.
Really, you are a real all-in-one, aren't you? Because you're directing, you're producing, you're shooting, you're editing, you're doing the whole thing. So let's say you've got a music video, an artist has come to you and I want you to do the whole thing. How much plan and prep would you put into it? Will you listen to the track a bunch of times? Like, how will you sort of envision how it's going to go out?
Yeah. So that's it. Because I get two different types of clients. There's some people where like, I'm not going to do the treatment or anything. Like, it's more, okay, I want to shoot this place. I want to shoot here. So they might have three places they want to shoot. They'll send me the song. And like, they might say, okay, I've rented these cars and I want to do this apartment, whatever. So yeah, I'll listen to the song and I'll kind of just get a feel for it. Like, the rhythm of it and the beat and everything, and I'll just show up on the day. And I guess I've been blessed with that eye to say, like, as soon as I walk in the room, I can kind of like scope it out and I'll be like, all right, you might need to stand here for this shot, and then da da da, and I'll kind of go from there. And then the movement of the camera will match just like the tempo of the song. Like, I don't know, that's just the way I work in it. Like, I can just match the beat of the song quite well with my movements. But if it's like a treatment kind of setting, so they've come with like a budget, say they've got like a 3K budget, then I might get a producer on board and I might say, okay, cool, I'll give you a cut to just handle this, like do us a call sheet, find us these locations, like sort out the bookings or whatnot, and I'll give you your cut for that. And then I know there's some lighting companies, so like there's London Lighting that sometimes use, I think they're like £300, so I'll put £300 aside for them. Then I might need some runners, some little assistants. Like, they'll get paid their little bit, And then obviously I'll always make sure though that I'm not necessarily eating into what I would charge. But more often than not, when you are given like a bigger budget like that, you can obviously take a bit more of a larger chunk for yourself if you like, you know.
So obviously, I know you've obviously travelled quite a lot. I mean, you went to, was it to Dubai you went to quite recently?
I went to Dubai in November.
How was that, man? I mean, that's surely that's like, you know, on the checklist of things to do.
Yeah,
maybe in the first 10 years of your career, never mind the first, three?
Yeah, I know, literally, like, things have happened so fast. Like, yeah, Dubai was just mad. That was all just last minute. Like, I just got a call from one of Digger's friends, and he was just like, do you want to come to Dubai? And I was just like, I was out on a shoot at the time, and I was like, oh, when? He's like, the next 2 days. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, book a flight, innit? And I'll send you all the money that you need for it. Like, just book the flight. But I said I couldn't come because I had bookings still. And then I started seeing like all their stories. And I was like, oh, how can I not go to this? Like, this is Digger D. Like, how can I not go? So following week came, I had like one or two more bookings, but I had to tell them, like, look, I can't do it. Like, I have to go, innit? And they was like, they was cool. They was like, yeah, nah, we get it. Like, go. So yeah, I booked the flight and I went, and it was just a mad experience. I shot about 3-4 videos out there.
Damn. How long are you out there for?
I was out there for 5 days. 5 days.
What was it like? I mean, Dubai is obviously quite a strict place. So when you were walking around with a camera, did you get into trouble with anything? Did anybody have a go at you, or was it just smooth sailing?
It was pretty smooth sailing, to be honest, because like we wasn't shooting in like, say, like local big public areas. Yeah, like we shot in places that we'd actually like rented out, like
gotcha.
The apartment or like these boat parties and all that kind of stuff. So places like that, we wasn't just roaming around with the camera. So yeah, there wasn't really much issues with that.
I'm just trying to sort of picture myself in a situation of being flown out to Dubai to shoot a big artist's music, like videos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What was just the general experience like?
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know, it was just surreal. It was really, really surreal because like I wasn't necessarily just flown out there to go and shoot for Digger D. Like, that was also just by chance because like his friend and everything shouted me. But it was mainly to do a video for his mate. So I did that video for him. Then it was just like, oh, yeah, we're going to studio tonight. So I went in the car with Digger, and then he was driving. He was just like, you got your camera? I was like, yeah. He was like, cool, record this. And it just went like that. Literally just like that. So I just pulled it out, started recording. And then he was like, yeah, okay, now we're going to go to the studio and it like get some scenes there as well. And then after he was like, okay, yeah, like this is the email address. Like we're gonna use it in it for the video. I was like, mad. All right then. I was like, all right then. And then like a couple of the other guys as well that he's friends with, they also made music too. So they saw that footage. It was like, oh yeah, this guy's certainly in it. So like, yeah, we want you to shoot as well. Shoot us like a thing as well. So came back. I made some money.
is there any artists out there that you're like, sort of, I want to shoot for them. I want to shoot for them real bad. And you think you can potentially get there in like the next few years?
Heady One.
Oh yeah.
Lil Baby, might shoot for him as well. Lil Durk as well. I don't know, you know, like I think that there's not a lot of artists where I'm like, oh my god, like, I'd love to shoot, apart from like Digger D and Heady One and like them. There's not a lot that I'm like, oh, I'm dying to shoot for them. It's more like certain music videos I've seen, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd love to shoot a video like this.
Right, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So kind of like bigger budget stuff then?
Yeah. Like I see some videos just with the craziest concepts. I'm just like, wow, like, yeah, if someone threw me this budget, like I'd just go crazy with it.
And did you do a few festivals? Was it were you at Park Life?
Yeah, last year. I shot at Park Life. Last year I went to Park Life this year, but I just went for fun. And then, obviously, because I was with, you see, Nem's coming in again handy, I was backstage with him on the second day. last year that was another one of those, like, just like out of the blue moments to shoot for Park Life, because I was shooting in Manchester the night before. Then I went out and I was hanging. So I was gonna drive home, but it was like 8 a.m. and I was still hanging. I'm pretty sure I was still drunk. So I thought, nah, let me just like lay and chill a bit longer. I laid and chilled a bit longer. I got a call. Oh hi, this is Blanco's manager. Are you available in Manchester with your stuff? Like, we need you to shoot. So then, yeah, I was like, oh mad, yeah, I've got all my stuff as well. So I just put it on charge, flew out there, and then shot Park Life.
You know, I guess a move to Manchester's got to be on the card soon, right?
It sounds like it, innit? Nah, do you know what? It is on the cards. Like, I've been trying to be honest, for a while, but I've just been in, like, different... I'm just trying to sort a few things out, really, before, like, I really, like, go and make that move. But I'm hoping to go there, like, at the end of September.
Hey, I mean, you've got to set up shop properly in Manchester. It seems every artist you shoot is like pretty much Manchester based, or has got a touch in the Manchester music scene.
Yeah, definitely. But slightly, the way things are going at the moment, like I'm in London a lot as well now.
Looks like you've got two gaffes, one in London, one in Manchester.
Nah, definitely, innit? If I make enough money, definitely, because yeah, like obviously London's going to be where a lot of the bigger budgets are. I need all this kind of stuff. A lot of it's in London. So it's like, if it comes to a time where I'm constantly shooting in London and I'm making enough money, then I guess I'll probably also consider like shifting down there. Because I think when you get to a certain point in Manchester, like you begin to see how small it actually is. Because before it seemed massive, like I thought, oh my God. But now like I've worked with a lot of people that like, I guess are worth working with. So it's kind of like, what's next now? What's next for me?
You've set yourself a high benchmark, haven't you?
Yeah, because I said it. Like, I started in Sheffield, then it's gone to Manchester, then it's going to go to London, and then it's just going to be everywhere. And then America. I want to go to America next year as well. Like, I'm not just going to stay in one place and be like...
No, definitely not, mate. Is there any artists in America that you've sort of got a potential link with, or you can sort of get in there, you reckon?
There's a couple now. I mean, I'm not gonna say I can remember their names, but like there's been a couple I've spoken to and they've been like, yeah man, like when you come out here, like we'll lock in. And then like I think there's a couple like artist managers as well that I've spoken to, so yeah, I plan to go out there, meet them, do a bit of networking and whatnot, and then I might even shoot them a free video or something, so that, you know, they'll be left with that video and they'll be dying to have me back, so then they'll fly me out next time.
Mate, I'm super grateful for your time, but before I let you go, I want to ask you a question, which is, if I gave you a blank canvas, what would you paint on it and why?
What would I paint on it? A blank canvas?
Yeah.
I was always thinking like the first thing that pops in my head.
Anything, mate, whatever, you know, I'm giving you a blank canvas, the name of the podcast, what would you paint on it and why? You could even draw on it, you don't have to paint, you can draw just something, what would you put on it?
I don't know, a skateboard ramp.
Perfect. Love it, mate. That's good. That's perfect. That's the whole point, man. That's the whole point. It's the, you know, it's not something planned. You just sort of something that comes in your head. So a skateboard ramp. And I'm guessing it's because I know you've always been into skating. You used to skate with my brother. And I'm guessing it's the first thing you shot then as well.
Well, yeah, essentially, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, I guess it was like just chilling at the skate park, doing little vlogs, annoying everyone, putting the cameras in their face.
Pick up the Sprottbra Massive.
Sprottbra Massive, that's it, man.
Ben, thank you so much for your time today, mate. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, my brother.